Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on February 6th. We are so close to a weekend, but there's a bit more news from the week to get through until then. So today, we'll take a look at concerns over water quality of a creek in Sittingbourne, a real-life wartime mission to rescue a lynx from Ukraine, and we'll look ahead at tomorrow's Gillingham fixture. But first, let's take a look at our top story for today. Residents near Raynham are calling for urgent action to fix a number of dangerous potholes that have opened up on a country lane. It's claimed drivers are having to swerve to avoid hitting the craters on Matsfield Lane in Hartlib. Kirsty Brown runs a nearby alpaca farm and wedding venue. She's been speaking to reporter Cara Simmons.
It's ruining my car, and also obviously in the summer if it's not done it will affect our business, because no one's going to want to drive a nice vintage car to a wedding, or any car to a wedding, where the likelihood of it having a puncture or ruining its wheels are quite high.
And I'm going a little bit to this side, that's all right. Has the road always been this bad, or is it?
No, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Literally, over the last 6 months, or probably actually saying that probably 2 years, since they've had, they've developed Matsfield Farm, and they've got heavy goods vehicles coming in and out all day, every day. And as that's expanded, obviously, so is the traffic, the staff. So yeah, it's getting worse and worse and worse. It's just a little country lane, and it can't cope with the amount of heavy goods vehicles that are coming in and out every day.
You can imagine the weather as well hasn't made
the rain it. Absolutely. As soon as it rains, anything that was in there, any stones or tarmac or anything, just washes straight out. So yeah, every time it rains, we know that it's going to be worse.
And how roughly deep are some of these potholes, would you say? I know you put your foot in one of them.
Well, I don't know. Some of them are probably about 8 to 10 inches deep.
Yeah.
And it's just not the depth of them. It's just that they've got a square edge. So if your car tyre hits it, it's not just a case of going in and out a little dip. It hits the edge of a 90 degree and it just rips your car.
And you obviously damaged your wheels. What happened there? When did that happen?
We were coming back from holiday. I think it was in November, and obviously we'd not driven the road for a couple of weeks. And my husband was driving. We didn't see it. It was dark. He just hit the pothole, and then we had to pull into the lay-by up there and change the wheel. But the wheel had bent as well, so we had to get a new wheel.
And is that the only time that's happened, or have you had
I've had four new wheels. I've had four new wheels. One or two, I've got one or two that are in reserve for my next but I do drive carefully. It's just that when it's dark and when it rains, or if someone's coming speeding to you, you know, too fast the other way, you've got no alternative. You have to just pull in.
Kent Online News.
A cyclist has been taken to hospital following a crash with a car in Margate. Police and paramedics were called to George Fifth Avenue just before 6 this morning. The road is still closed for investigation work. Hundreds of people are expected to line the streets later for the funeral of a young woman from Faversham who was killed in a crash. Alicia Skinner was studying at Buckinghamshire New University in Wickham when it happened last month. The 21-year-old passed away in hospital 3 days later. A service is being held at St Mary of Charity Church. Now, an inquiry has found loss of life could have been avoided on the day 27 people died while trying to cross the channel. A boat carrying asylum seekers overturned near Dover while trying to reach the UK in November 2021. Our reports now concluded systemic failures, missed opportunities and inadequate resourcing undermined search and rescue operations. Sir Ross Cranston is chair of the inquiry.
So far as HM Coast Guard is concerned, I've carefully examined the staffing situation at the Maritime Rescue Coordination Centre, the MRCC, in Dover, and its impact on the events of the night. Specific issues with resourcing had repeatedly occurred and been identified within HM Coast Guard. It had been expressly linked to risks, including the loss of life through a flawed response, the loss of situational awareness, and an adverse impact on staff well-being and morale. The reality is that the staff at Dover were overwhelmed on the night of the 23rd to the 24th of November 2021. As I say, HM Coast Guard were aware of the issues and risks. The inquiry has received little evidence explaining how, if at all, these had been addressed before November 2021. As the report's analysis makes clear, the flaws in HM Coast Guard's decision-making were systemic in nature. In particular, they are attributable to, firstly, the inordinate pressure on HM Coast Guard staff at Dover, handling small boat search and rescue, who were placed in an intolerable position because of staff shortages and other deficiencies. Secondly, the absence of effective supervision of those staff. Thirdly, the limitations of the remote working model, which was in operation to assist them. And fourthly, the belief within HM Coast Guard that callers from small boats regularly exaggerated their level of distress.
Kent Online News.
We're getting the chance to have a say on how we think local government should be organised in future. The idea is to slim down the system and have a smaller number of larger unitary authorities, saving money and streamlining decision-making. Five different options from Kent have been suggested. A consultation runs until March 28th. Plans to increase the police part of our council tax have been approved by a panel. The average bill for a band property will go up by £15 a year. Bosses say the money's needed to protect the current level of police provision in the county. The people behind an urgent home care service say they're keeping thousands of patients out of busy hospitals in Kent. It sees medical staff visit and treat people, preventing them from having to go to A&E. Stats show that during last year, almost 600 people a month in the east of the county were looked after at home instead of going to hospital. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been told the water quality at a popular creek near Sittingbourne is worse than in the River Seine in Paris, where Olympic events were postponed. Tests have been carried out at Milton Creek following concerns from residents who reported a bad smell. Chris Foster is from Rabel Charters, which is based nearby and did the monitoring. He's been speaking to reporter Joe Crossley.
We became aware that the water quality in the UK, rivers and pollution was really on the rise, so we wanted to understand what was going on in the creek as our project's based here. And we started looking at different parameters, nutrients, bacteria, oxygen, pH, just to understand the kind of pollution pressures the creek may or may not be under, to then decide how we could come up with some creative solutions to fix that.
Sure. And you've been testing for about a year, I'm right in saying, or during January 24 to January 25.
Yeah, so we did a year worth of testing once a month. We had a group of volunteers and myself would go out, collect samples from three different sites, come back here, test them, and then we recorded all of that. And then we worked with the South East Rivers Trust to analyse the data and write a report.
And what does the report show?
So the report, unfortunately, is not so great news. Essentially, Milton Creek has poor ecological status. The bacterial levels are so high, it would be completely unsuitable for any recreation. And yeah, it's safe to say the creek's in quite a lot of trouble, yeah.
And it didn't always used to be like this. You've done some historical background research, I guess, about what it used to be like. Can you tell me what it had been like?
Yeah, so that was a real starting point to read a book called The Past Glories of Milton Creek. And it's not only talking about barges and brickworks, but fishermen that lived and thrived on this creek. And this was before the paper mill came. And so after the paper mill polluted the creek a lot, and those fishermen were unable to make a living almost overnight. So before the paper mill came along, they were really successful fishermen. They could make a living. There were 50 freemen of the river living just on Milton Creek alone.
With the results that you've got, can you kind of give me some bit of analysis?
Because we had three different sites, we could sort of triangulate where the pollution was coming from, and it seemed that most of the problem seemed to be with the sewage treatment works and the combined sewage outfall right next to it. And so during heavy rainfall, or if the sewage treatment works is backed up, it could be leaking treated or partially treated or untreated sewage into the creek. And so we had huge spikes of E. coli. Bacterial levels are so high, it's way beyond swimming levels or recreational levels. It's actually the point of dangerous for anyone to even be in the water in a small craft. So yeah, really bad.
Right.
And that was consistent throughout the year in near the sewage treatment works. It varied at the other sites, but next to the sewage treatment works, it was extremely high.
So now knowing that, you've come up with a bit of a plan of what we could maybe do to help get the river back on its feet, I guess.
Yeah, so working with the South East Rivers Trust, they've made a lot of really amazing suggestions, and we've also been inspired by projects that are going on around the country and around the world. So using nature-based solutions to clean up any pollution that's already existing, but also try and divert some of the rainwater out of the system and create creative solutions for drainage and rainscaping and capturing water in water butts to put pressure off the system. And eventually we'd love to see oyster bed being revived and seagrass, which can help draw down carbon, mitigate flooding and wave and erosion, coastal erosion, and also oysters can clean, one oyster can clean 140 litres of water per day. So there'll be a benefit to the ecosystem for introducing those that we've actually lost. We used to have a lot more native oysters in this area.
Kent Online News.
Plans for 5 homes in Hythe have been given the go-ahead despite concerns they didn't fit in with the local area. The proposals for 3 townhouses and 2 apartments in Blackhouse Hill were first submitted 10 months ago. Developers say they'll be modern interpretations of the nearby Victorian properties. Plans for 8 natural burial ground on part of a Christmas tree farm near Maidstone have been given the go-ahead. Only 4 objections have been submitted to the idea of converting an area of land at Gravely Bottom Road in Kingswood. It will eventually accommodate between 300 and 350 graves. An update now on an attempt to bring a rescued lynx back from Ukraine. The boss of a Kent Animal Sanctuary says it's a high-stakes mission. £100,000 has been raised to save Ursa from the war-torn country. She was discovered being kept illegally as a pet and is now in a rescue centre in Kyiv. Nicola has been talking to Cam Whitnell, who was from the Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarden near Ashford.
We've had some amazing support over the years, and just seeing that continue, especially in today's climate, is just really special. And without that support, we wouldn't be able to do the work that we do and give cats like Ursa a second chance. And now we've had people from Australia, North America, Asia donate and raise awareness about this campaign. So yeah, we're just going to work really hard now to try and get over there as quick as we can to get her out, but that's the next hurdle, which is the paperwork.
Yes, we will talk about that. But firstly, tell me, how did you first hear about Ursa and the situation that she was in?
Yeah, in 2024, we did a lion rescue from Ukraine, from Wild Animal Rescue. And it wasn't until further conversations after her rescue, Natalia, who's based at Wild Animal Rescue Centre in Kyiv, she just begged me that she had a little lynx called Ursa, who's in the converted horse stable, so she didn't have access to outside areas. Bombs are falling, and she was just like, please, can you give her a home? Like, I love you guys, I trust you guys. What you've done for the lions is amazing. You know, please give Ursa a home. So I said, okay, I'll do what I can. Just give me a minute to think it through and speak to the team. And then, yeah, we got to work as soon as we're all in agreement that we can do this for us, so we can give her a better life. And that's when the work started to try and rescue her.
And I believe she was being housed initially as a pet. Is that right? Which sounds incredible.
Yeah, look, this is a conversation that we have often, and we'll be having a lot more in future. The illegal pet trade, it's the 4th biggest illegal trade on the planet. And sadly, it's one of the biggest impactors of the decline of so many species around the world. You know, lynxes are not pets. Exotic cats are not pets. And it's something that we're really trying to tackle, but also raise awareness on. So many people don't know about this situation. But, you know, when she was found, malnourished, parasites, not in a good way. You know, she's never been outside before. On grass, so hopefully there'll be many firsts for Ursa, and she can be a little bit more how a lynx should be.
So what happens next then, Cam? You say you've got the money now, an awful lot of paperwork to sort out. When could Ursa be arriving in the county?
As soon as paperwork is signed off and all parties are happy and organisations, we're going to go over straight away. We have transport ready. And then we'll be meeting at the Krakow border, on the border of Poland and Ukraine, and then a long 12-hour drive into Kyiv. And Wild Animal Rescue is just on the outskirts. So yeah, I'll be in and out within 2 days, really, and hopefully to safety. So yeah, that is the plan. With these things, it's a risk, even this conversation now. That's why so many places don't have these conversations before an animal is moved, because there are so many risks involved. And not to forget that it is an ongoing war in Ukraine. So it is highly dangerous and a high stakes mission.
Absolutely. How do you feel travelling over there, Cam? Because, you know, very often it drops out the headlines, doesn't it, as to what's going on in Ukraine. But how do you feel when you head to the country?
Truthfully, I haven't really given it much thought. I'm doing it for the love of cats and wildlife at the end of the day. And, you know, the team out there, I speak to them every single day. So it's just part of what I do. And that won't change.
Kent Online News.
The Prince of Wales will represent the King at the new Archbishop of Canterbury's enthronement ceremony next month. William and Kate met Dame Sarah Mullally for the first time yesterday and offered their congratulations. She'll be the first woman to take on the role when she's officially installed in a ceremony at Canterbury Cathedral on March 25th. Thanet is launching a bid to be named City of Culture for 2029. More than 70 community organisations, cultural groups and businesses have joined forces to put forward what's known as an expression of interest. Artist Dame Tracy Emin, who's from Margate, supports the idea along with the local MPs. If you live there, you're being asked what you think. And Rob and Noomi from KMFM Breakfast are going to be joining a lantern parade in Maidstone later. Hundreds of school children will also join community groups for a procession along Week Street and Jubilee Square. It all gets underway from County Hall at 5, kickstarting a month-long celebration of mental health.
Kent Online Sports.
Starting with football, and it's another home game for Gillingham this weekend. Tranmere Rovers are the visitors to Priestfield. The Gills will be hoping to find some form following a disappointing 1-0 loss to Notts County midweek and a 4-1 thumping from Bromley last Saturday. Manager Gareth Ainsworth has been chatting to the club's media team.
As we've always said in League Two, every club's got massive respect for being in the Football League, you know, no matter what division you're in, no matter what level you're at. Tranmere, they've got some great history. Know the club well, and obviously Cross is going to have his team ready for a battle, ready for a fight. You know, they've been on a bit of a dodgy run. So, yeah, we're expecting nothing but a tough game, which we always do, week in, week out at Priestfield.
Can you sense the fire in the belly from your lads? They're probably left disappointed at Notts County on Tuesday when perhaps a draw was a fairer result, but can you see that the determination they ride?
There's a lot, you know, that we can be frustrated about. You know, we had feedback from a certain incident in Bromley that we went and should have gone our way, and that frustrates us, you know. But we also know that we were good second half against Notts County, second in the league. How we've come away with nothing is amazing, you know. I was looking for the perspex screen in front of their goal at the end of the game because nothing would go in, you know. But we have to make sure they're going, and that's that's, you know, the likes of why I brought Ronan in, you know, quality goal scorer. Volksy, many goals to his name, you know, Josh learning and Seb learning. So, you know, there is goals in the team, but we just need to produce them. But, no, I was really pleased with that second half performance. I thought we really just took it on a level. And yeah, so on the way home, I was quietly confident that the plan is in place. When you see performances like that, you really get enthused with what could be. And that's what I'm thinking about this club. You know, I'm looking forward to the games ahead now.
Sounds like you've got that jigsaw puzzle, just that little missing piece in the middle where you just need to push it in a bit further to get what you need.
Listen, we're pretty good, you know. I spoke with Brad Gallinson, who's gone back to the States, but he's coming back over at some stage this season. But he was saying, look, absolutely fine. He said, there's a remit, obviously, of the end of the 96-97 season. We know where we want to be, but we're on track. And there's signs that we are, and we have grown as a team and grown as a club. And I'm happy with that. You know, it's definitely something that I'm proud of. Everybody in football wants it yesterday. You know, they all want promotion. They all want to be top of the league, and that's football in general, you know, any club, not just Gillingham. So I understand that. I'm lucky I've got a knowledgeable bunch of fans, I've got a steady set of players, and I think they all know that this this long-term plan is something that I'm buying into and I want to make sure it happens.
The Winter Olympics officially gets underway in Italy later, with the opening ceremony taking place. Kent's got two athletes competing at the Games. Matt Weston from Tunbridge Wells will be competing in the skeleton for Team GB, while Thanet's Taylor Lawrence is in the bobsleigh squad. To tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu will attempt to reach the final of the Transylvania Open later. She made it through to the last four after a straight sets victory yesterday. The British number one from Orpington goes up against Ukraine's Alexandra Olenikova. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe. That's all from us this week. Have a fantastic weekend.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.